for tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, April the 3rd, 1988. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the minister of the morning.
Jesus, be Lord over me. Jesus, be Lord over me. You have given to me such a sweet liberty. Jesus, be Lord, oh. Oh, yes, Father, grant it today, God, God, hallelujah. Jesus, be Lord over me. Jesus, be Lord over me. You have given to me such a sweet liberty. Jesus, be Lord over me. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And magnify your name and ask the Holy Spirit to endow us with wisdom today to minister and to open our hearts again, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's just raise our hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Thank you for the fire. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn to the Bible. Praise the Lord. Who's got your Bible this morning? Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. I remember as a young Christian, and I'm still young, we know we don't know too much yet, but as a young Christian, I remember I was leading a testimony service, had my hands on the pulpit, only it was a wide pulpit, and all at once I felt the presence of the Lord come upon me. And my body began to shake and tremble. I wasn't doing it, He was doing it. And how many know the Spirit can quicken us? The anointing abides within, but the quickenings of the Spirit can come and go. And so I felt this presence come upon me, and I gave my first message in tongues. It came from way down and came out. And there was a lady on the front row who gave her first interpretation that I'd ever heard her give, and she never gave another one that I knew of. And that experience changed my life because God put a hunger in me for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that they're real, don't you? Praise the Lord. You know, I've seen situations where it just seemed like no one was healed, but all of a sudden, suddenly there would be a manifestation of the Spirit, and God would just move out those things that had troubled people for so long. And we need God's manifestation today in the church and in our lives. And I don't mean just inside the church. We need the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit when we walk out of this building.
Amen.
And we know God can minister through you to sinners. And to others, praise the Lord. You don't have to just be in church, praise the Lord. Jesus said, as Irma said yesterday, these signs shall follow those that believe. And they follow believers. How many is a believer again today here? Praise the Lord. Amen. How many know that, you know, you can't follow a parked car, I've always said. Amen. And the gifts follow The gifts follow those that go. But those that go preach the word. And it may be across the street, across the city, across the United States, or across the world. But the gifts follow those that take the word and those that go. Praise the Lord. But he said, these signs shall follow those that believe. And there's a lot of unbelieving believers today in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. But they're for you and they are for me. And you know, every one of those signs that Jesus spoke about, starting with casting out devils right on through, they're all for believers. How many believe that sometimes we get sick and need healing? Amen? How many believe we can speak in tongues by the Spirit? How many believe that you may accidentally take up serpents? You know, one time I was a little boy and I picked up a snake accidentally, but I threw him down pretty quick too. But we know that's more than natural. We know we're dealing with demonic powers as well. And how many know sometimes you might accidentally drink something that's deadly, even as a Christian? Well, how many know we can still have demons and be Christians? Got to get delivered, isn't that right? Praise the Lord. And in fact, I find that, you know, that to me the key is praying much in the Holy Ghost, praying much in the Spirit. I find that we pray too much in the natural. Not that it's wrong to pray in the natural, but if I pray about 15 minutes, I've just about prayed out in the natural. But I like to pray in the Spirit. I like to pray in tongues. How many practices praying in the Holy Ghost? Amen. Building up yourselves in on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. You know, the Scripture says that there were tongues of fire, of course, at Pentecost. And yet the Bible said, as they spoke with tongues, they spoke the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord. The wonderful works of God. The Bible said that they spoke with tongues in Acts 10 and magnified God. So when you pray in tongues, you magnify God at times, don't you? And the Bible said in Acts 19, when they prayed in tongues, they also prophesied. And they just got filled with the Holy Ghost. And some of us have been filled with the Holy Ghost and never prophesied. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. We need to be about the Father's business. Praise the Lord. This is the rest. And this is the refreshing. Praise the Lord. Paul said you can speak the tongues of men and of angels. Praise the Lord. And so forth. I could go right down the list. I got about 20 things here I can tell you why you should speak in tongues. But let's look at chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here in the Word of God. And you know, I don't care how much we know, how mature we are, we still must pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We still must pray much in tongues. I pray at times so much in the Spirit, like at home or wherever, and God would begin to minister back to me. And I couldn't write fast enough the things that He would quicken to me. And I've always said this, not only from my study in the Bible, but by doing two things, or two things in my life that's helped me. And that is pray much in tongues and the deliverance ministry that's come into my life. It has opened me up for truth. And I believe the more you pray in tongues and the more you are delivered, God will open you up for truth. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. The word spiritual means non-carnal. And we know the gifts of the Spirit are not carnal. The word gifts there, right there has been put in right there in italics. But let me know these are manifestations as well as gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Well, how many know Paul said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Ignorant is spiritual darkness. Now, what does it mean here in verse 1 where he says, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts? He's saying, I don't want you to be misinformed, another translation says. Now, they knew what gifts were in this church, but to exercise the employment of the gifts and the way they were to be exercised, they were actually ignorant because they were just doing everything, especially in chapter 14. How many know God has an order in the church? There's an order in the church. There's an order in the gifts of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, for instance, I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm here ministering today, and all of a sudden God drops a prophecy into my spirit. And then someone out there gets a message in tongues. Well, I believe the first order is that God gives me the prophecy that should come first. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm not saying your message in tongues is not important, because it is. But if I've seen this happen, a person receive a prophecy right behind the pulpit that's ministering by the Spirit, and about the time he's to give it, a person steps out with a message in tongues. I would say, hold off on the interpretation, I'll give the prophecy, and then either I'll give the interpretation or have somebody else give the interpretation. There's an order there. Right. Prophecy is the highest order in that realm. Amen? How many understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, verse 2, he said, you know that you were Gentiles, heathen, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you, church, to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I mean, know that if you're speaking by the Spirit, you'll never say anything derogatory against the Godhead.
Amen.
And especially against Jesus, or, well, of course, any of the Godhead. And yet he says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, I could illustrate that on the blackboard, but I won't. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. How many gifts are there, brother? 9 gifts of the Spirit, but the same Holy Spirit. Amen? He manifests himself in 9 different ways, praise the Lord, and yet by one Holy Spirit. Verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now, the gifts operate differently. How many know that? You may receive a word of knowledge. You may, God may drop a word of knowledge into your spirit about a person, or it may come through prophecy. It may come through a vision. It may come through a dream. It can come different ways, can it, the word of knowledge? You say, what's the word of knowledge? A word of knowledge is a revelation of people, places, and things in the past or in the present. Praise the Lord. How many know we need words of knowledge in the church, as well as words of wisdom? Praise the Lord. And but I'll illustrate it this way. There were 3 men in the Bible. There was Samson, there was Moses, and there was Elijah. They all had the working of miracles in their life, but the operation was different in all of them. I mean, know that Moses stretched forth the rod. Amen? Elijah stretched forth the mantle. But Samson, the power of God would come upon his body, and he could rip the gates off and the bars at midnight and take them up to a hill. I mean, know that's the type of the sons of God ripping the gates of hell off. Hallelujah. Amen? Storming the gates of hell. Did you know that? At midnight, praise the Lord. And so, the operation can be different, praise the Lord. Go back up to verse 4. Again, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I mean, in the tabernacle, there was a 7-branch candle lampstand. We call it candlestick, but lampstand. And there were 7 different bowls of light, we would say, there on the lampstand. And each lamp was separate. And yet the fire would co-mingle. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Each gift is separate, but how many know the gifts work together?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Many times when I'd be given a message in tongues, interpretation, God would be giving me a word of knowledge at the same time. And so they work together. The gifts operate and work together. Praise the Lord. How many know that? How many likes coffee? Well, a few of us. I'm not saying it's good for us, but... But you know, a cup of coffee without anything in it, a lot of people like it that way. And you know, the simple gift of prophecy, that's what I call it, without any revelation or anything connected with it, it's just a simple gift of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And we thank God for that. But how many know in that same coffee, you can put a little cream, and you mix that cream in with that coffee, and you can't separate that cream from that coffee, can you? And others like a little sugar put in there. Well, how many know sometimes the gift of prophecy comes forth and God puts a word of knowledge in that prophecy, or a word of wisdom in that prophecy? Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. And mixes it up a little bit. But I want to tell you something. If we'll come to the place in God where we'll do 3 things, several things. Number one, we pray much in tongues. And our desire is to do 2 things. It is to bless God, and number 2, to edify the church. in verse, look at chapter 14 just a minute. Look at verse 3. He that prophesies speak to men, unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. If your desire is to edify, exhort, and comfort the body, then I'll tell you, God can use you in the greater gifts. How many believe that? I believe that with all my heart. But our first desire is to see the church is edified and comforted and exhorted. Praise the Lord. And as we are obedient unto God in that, then God can, of course, begin to use us in greater ways. Praise the Lord. Come back to chapter 12 now. He says here in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the manifestations is given not to just the fivefold ministry. It's given also to the body of Christ, isn't it? To every man to profit withal. Praise the Lord. And I believe that these gifts are given to the church, for the church to use them in a right manner. Praise the Lord. Now, in chapter 12, you have divine energy. In chapter 13, you have divine love. And in chapter 14, you have divine harmony. Well, how many know that we need some energy today from the Spirit? And we need that divine love from the Spirit. And you put them together and you're going to have divine harmony. Praise the Lord. We need that. Let me tell you what these gifts do. They will stir you up. They will build you up. And they will cheer you up. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, if you need healing and the manifestation comes and God heals you, what's that going to do? That's going to stir you up. That's going to cause you to seek God, and that's going to cheer you up. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I still believe it's better to go around with a healthy body than a sick body, don't you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we know the very key, I believe, in all the gifts is, as I said, pray much in the Spirit. We know there's initial baptism in the Holy Ghost. And we know at Pentecost, several things happen. Suddenly, as they were waiting on God and sitting there, the 120, of course, the Spirit descended. But there was an immersion. The Spirit filled the whole room where they were. And then there was an inflow. The Spirit came in, and then there was the outflow. They began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. I mean, oh, God's got a hotline. Look in chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is a mystery. And that's the same word. Christ coming in us is a mystery, and yet us praying unto God. The Bible said we're praying mysteries. Praise the Lord. I mean, oh, that's the Holy Ghost through you talking to the Father.
Amen?
Amen? Praise the Lord. And, of course, in praying in the Spirit, number one, we speak not to man. We speak unto God. God is a Spirit. Isn't that right? Spirit is communicating with Spirit. Number two, we do not understand basically what we're saying most of the time. And three, not only are we speaking to God, but we're speaking those mysteries. And then number four, we are edified by praying in tongues. Praise the Lord. Now in prophecy, when you prophesy, you're speaking to men, aren't you? And of course, we understand the language that it's given in. We don't always understand maybe what God's saying, as we should. And thirdly, the church, Third thing is, in prophecy, many times the mysteries come out that you prayed in the Spirit. And then four, prophecy comes forth and the church itself is edified. Now the reason we're not seeing the church edified properly is because we're not being edified properly. If we get edified and begin to pray in tongues on a continual basis, then that will open us up for the gift of prophecy to edify the church. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Now, let me show you. Through this chapter, Paul is stressing edification. Look at verse 3. He uses the word edification there. And in verse 4, he uses it twice. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Praise the Lord. How many ever went to church and felt you weren't edified? How many know we can't blame it on anybody but ourselves? You say, why is that? Look over in verse 26 just a minute. Verse 26. How is it, then, brethren, when you come together? How many know we've come together today? Yet we can come together and not be together in the Spirit. Every one of you hath a psalm. Every one of you hath a psalm. How many know that's a spiritual ode? That's poetry in the Spirit, given by actually by prophecy. Hath a doctrine, that's a teaching. Hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done and unedifying. I want you to notice, he said, when you come together, you have those things, which means you seek God before you come. You come to give. You don't just come only to receive. You come in an attitude of, God, if you want to use me, you use me, Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In fact, if we're not careful, we'll cripple people and we'll do it all for them. Did you hear me? Praise God. When I went to Bible college, we had a brother there, tremendous brother that taught us in the gifts and on the fruits of the Holy Spirit, one of the greatest teachers I believe I ever sat under when it comes to that. And he was a mighty man in the Spirit. And he wasn't stingy with the pulpit. He wasn't stingy with the things of the Spirit. And he would let the students come forth, and he would see that they would come forth in the Spirit. He would allow that. We need times of training. We need places where we can go and learn how to move in the Spirit. Amen? So what if you make a mistake? How many know we've all made mistakes somewhere down the road? I'd rather make a mistake trying to do what God wanted me to do than not do anything at all, would you? Praise the Lord. So we need to be exhorted today, brethren, all of us, to move in the Spirit as God directs. Now, go back to chapter 14. I didn't finish this word edification. Look down in verse 12. He uses the word edification. Then up in verse 17, he uses the word edification. And I think there's another one in here somewhere that I may have overlooked. But anyway, there's about seven times he uses this word edification here. Praise the Lord. Now, we know that in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's the initial evidence of speaking with tongues. Then there's the continual tongue where we pray in tongues daily. And then there's the occasional tongue where we give messages in tongues to be interpreted in the Spirit. And also in the Spirit, we do something else. We praise and worship in tongues. We know that. We rebuke in tongues. How many has ever rebuked in tongues? Amen. The works of the enemy, not the person that you may be praying for, but you're rebuking the enemy in tongues. And then, of course, there is exhortation with interpretation, you see, in the services. And then there's intercession that comes upon a whole group or an individual who intercede in tongues. And most of the time when an intercession comes in a group or upon an individual during a meeting, most of the times a prophecy will follow behind that intercession. And God knows we need intercessors today. Amen. We need intercessors in the church. Praise the Lord. Those that spend hours praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Now, look at chapter 14 here, I believe it is. Chapter 14. Look at verse 12. I want to say something with tongues here just a minute. Chapter 14 and verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of something, spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may what? Interpret. Interpret. Now, let me say something about interpretation. How many know that an interpretation is not a word-for-word translation, necessarily? It means to explain something thoroughly. And, in fact, I call it this. It's like an explosion in the mind. All of a sudden, there's a message, and boom, the words are there. That's all. I can't explain it. It's just, you know. Number one, God will give you a word or a sentence of words that will be rested upon your heart, maybe to start out and to interpret. One word, maybe two words, or maybe a sentence of words. Or number two, you may actually see the words that you interpret. You may actually see the words like a ticker tape that you would interpret by the Spirit. Three, you may see the very substance that you're interpreting. You may see the very substance itself, what the interpretation is about. Number four, and I've seen this happen at times, there may just be an inward unction to stand and obey God and open your mouth by faith, and when you do, God honors it. Praise the Lord. And I know of a man who used to go to Springfield a lot in those big meetings, and someone would come with a message, and they had all these great men on the platform that would write the books on the gifts of the Spirit, and many times they would never come forth and interpret. He couldn't stand that, and he'd get right up in the middle of the audience just in faith with an unction and stand and interpret. Praise the Lord, many times. And then number five, there is an inward knowing of the subject matter. For instance, I used to, years ago, give many messages in tongues and interpretation. I moved in that a lot. And sometimes when I'd give a message in tongues, as I would give it sometimes, not always, inwardly God would show me the subject matter it was about, that it would be on the interpretation. And it always came out that way, usually, as the Lord would show me. So those are five ways how to interpret. Praise the Lord. I mean, oh, you see that over in the book of Daniel. How many of you remember there was a tongue wrote on the wall? Remember that? How many of the wall represents the system? And it was by the candlestick. How many of the candlesticks top the church? And a man's hand, praise the Lord. How many know there's a fivefold ministry moving in the Spirit too? And like Brother Jack said the other day, it's one thing to prophesy. It's another thing to have a minister prophecy. It's one thing to lay hands on the people, see people heal. It's another thing to see the minister of healing come forth. I believe Catherine Kuhlman had a ministry of miracles in her life, regardless of what you think about or not. I think she moved in miracles. Praise the Lord, don't you? Hallelujah. And so we need to develop ministries by the Spirit. But that hand came across there, wrote the tongue, and then Daniel had the interpretation, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, turn to chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Look in verse 1. Thank you, brother. Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may do something. Prophesy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, why did Paul put so much emphasis on prophesying? Well, first of all, again, remember what I said, the gift of prophecy is just a simple gift without any revelation itself. It'll edify, it'll exhort and comfort. Or number two, you may speak by prophecy words of faith to a person. I mean, all that can happen. Or you may speak healing and miracles to people by a prophecy. Or you may speak words of wisdom. It will come and work in conjunction through that simple gift, like a prophet's ministry, or words of knowledge to an individual. And, of course, certainly when I prophesy, I certainly discern a lot of things, especially over people. Sometimes I never tell them what I discern. Sometimes I do, depending how God leads. And then, of course, tongues interpretation equal prophecy. So it's important that we know that. Now look here in chapter 14, verse 1. Let's all read it again. I read it, but let's read it again. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love that. Follow after love. Follow after love. Charity. Now, the word follow, it's a strange word, we think, because we think we just tag along. Or we just follow after something. No, that's not what he's saying. The word follow means to press. Press. It's the same word where Paul says, I press towards the mark of the for the prize of the high calling in Christ. It's the same word there. Press. It's not something that you just follow, tag along after. You've got to go after that love. Amen? You have to go after that fruit of the Spirit. Follow after charity. Praise the Lord. It also means to pursue or ensue. It means to go after love, after charity. And let me tell you what else it means. It means persecution. And I challenge you to look up that word follow. You'll see there's a lot of scripture which is the same word persecution in the Bible. And if you're going to follow after God, if you're going to press after God, let me tell you, you will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And number two, praise the Lord. What else I see here? Look, he said, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. That word desire there means to covet. Now, God's word teaches us against covetousness. But right here, the Spirit says you can covet after spiritual gifts if you're pressing after love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at it. Look in chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And Paul said, yet I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Covet earnestly. And that word earnestly also is the same word. Now, what does it mean to be earnest? Well, how many know that Elijah prayed earnestly that it would not rain on the earth? And then he prayed earnestly that it would rain. Jesus prayed so earnestly that the Bible said he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. How many know it's time to get serious with God if you're going to move in God? If you're going to be used by God, you've got to get serious with God. Hallelujah. It's not an up and down thing like a yo-yo, brethren. It is a constant warfare. It is a constant moving in God if you're going to be used by God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's a glorious walk, though, when you can see the manifestation of the Holy Ghost moving in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you the trouble I see in many churches that I go to. There's too much control here. God's people need some more freedom to move in the Spirit. I know there's got to be an order, but there's got to be freedom for God's people, liberty. Where the Holy Ghost is, there is liberty. Can you say amen? And we need the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Not to do our thing, but to do what God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. I've seen pastors standing behind the pulpits would go so fast and so quick in the service, it would give nobody room and time to move in the Spirit. That is not of God. Amen? And the reason they did it, because they couldn't handle what was coming forth. Well, if they can't handle it, let them, you know, get on with God and learn the ways of the Spirit. Can you say amen? And not that we all know all God's ways, but we desire to know God's ways. But I don't want to put a bondage on God's people either. Praise the Lord. I want to see God's people begin to move in the Spirit. I want to see God's people begin to be used by God. Hallelujah. Amen. As they're taught and trained and move in God's order. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he said, covet earnestly these gifts of the Spirit. This word desire in chapter 14, verse 1, it also means to be zealous for, or actually it means to be jealous for. What it means. It also means that to have a warm feeling for or against. Praise the Lord. And notice what he said there in chapter 14, verse 1. Desire spiritual gifts. Again, that word spiritual is non-carnal. It is those who move in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. These gifts are not carnal. These gifts are spiritual. These gifts are from heaven. They're from the Holy Ghost. How many know speaking in tongues is just as real as a healing? Because it's coming from the Spirit. Can you say amen? And they're both important. Praise the Lord. Now notice what he said. Follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts. This is a command, not an option. It's a command that you and I, the church, begin to move in prophecy. It is a command that we move in love. It's a command that we desire these gifts. And Paul said, but rather that you may prophesy. Praise the Lord. And so to prophesy means to be God's spokesman. Means to speak what God is saying by the Spirit. And let me tell you what prophecy does. It opens you up for two things. It opens you up as a channel that love of God that you're following after can flow through. And it will cause you, number two, to minister Jesus. How many know the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? Did you hear me? Hallelujah. That gift is the channel where love can flow through and where Jesus can flow through and minister to God's people. Blessed be his name. Now, look over in 1 Corinthians 12 a minute. Let's just read the gifts here a minute. In verse 8, 4 to 1. And before I read these, let me tell you three things. There are three gifts of knowing. There are three gifts of doing. And there are three gifts of speaking. I'll say it again. Three gifts of knowing, three gifts of doing, and three gifts of speaking. Or three gifts of revelation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And I said there are three gifts of doing, didn't I? Which means three gifts of power, gift of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. And then there's three gifts of speaking, or three gifts of utterance, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Praise the Lord. Now, look here in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That means a fragment of God's wisdom. I mean, we couldn't take all of God's wisdom. It means a small portion of God's wisdom. You see, a word of wisdom is a revelation, again, of a people, place, and things, but it points to the future. How many know God said to Jonah, in 40 days, and Jonah began to preach it, in 40 days, God's going to destroy this city. You remember that? That's a word of wisdom. That's a word of wisdom. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of, it should be healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, did you notice discerning of spirits was not with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge here on the list? It was sandwiched right in between prophecy and tongues interpretation. Notice that? It was sandwiched right among the utterance gifts. Well, how many know that we're going to hear the utterance gifts probably a lot more, and we'll see some of the others. And we're going to have to discern what is of God and what's not of God. Can you hear me? Look over just a minute in chapter 14. Look over in verse 31. For you may all prophesy one by one. That all may what? Not only do you learn how to prophesy, but you learn by what's prophesied. Isn't that right? And all may be comforted. Now look at verse 32. Now notice here, it changes in verse 32. I mean, just because you prophesy, it don't make you a prophet. And that's the deception among some. Just because they prophesy, they think they're a prophet or a prophetess, and, you know, they can turn the world upside down. No, they can't. In verse 32, God said, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to who? The prophets. How many know if a prophet gets up and makes a mistake, he cannot blame God, he has to blame himself. You know, you can send a kite out, and I don't, maybe some of you, when your children used to play with kites, you can send that kite out, and you can roll that kite back in, can't you? But when words go out, how many know you can't reach down and bring them back in? Amen? Hallelujah. And I tell you, when we open our mouth, we need to weigh what we say. Amen? I know we've all made mistakes, but we need to weigh what we say. But in verse 32 especially, he said, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not what? The author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches. Now go back to verse 29. Here's the verse I looked for and I skipped it. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let what? The other is the prophet. Let the other prophet judge, or prophets judge. They should be on a level, a place of God, where they can judge that if it be God or not. And I'm not telling you you can't judge, because, God gives us, how many knows, 8 or 10 ways that we can learn to judge too. Isn't that right? How many know that if it's not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them, the Bible says. We judge by the word, don't we? And, God's given you something in here. You know, what is my spirit? We have the anointing in us. What does my inner man say about that? Number three, does it bring fear or bondage, or does it bring liberty in what's being said? Hallelujah. And we could go on. There's about 8 or 10 ways there that you can test prophecies. But we need to know those things for sure. Now, praise the Lord. How many know without the love of God, you can speak in tongues, but it's just like a clanging cymbal and a harsh noise? Look there in chapter 13. I know you know this. Look at it, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I want to show you one key word in that verse that's a key right there. Look at the word become. I am become. And we know the Bible said that the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our hearts by... No. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And yet Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become. I've become something that I was not. I mean, when you get saved and fill the Holy Ghost, God comes in you and some of that love comes in you and you just love everybody. But you can become something. You can become something else. You can leak. You can lose that love, can't you? And you become then, he says, sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Again, we can move in the gifts of the Spirit and yet not be changed within. We have to press in after that love, and we have to press in after the gift. Praise the Lord. That's for sure. Amen. And we know in the Old Testament, the pomegranates cushion the bells. We would say the pomegranate speaks of the fruit. The bell speaks of the gift that was on the high priest's garment. Amen. The pomegranates, I wrote down, cushion the bells, the fruit of the Spirit, will cause the gifts of the Spirit to operate in harmony. We said there's divine energy and divine charity and divine harmony, didn't we? 13, 14 chapter of Corinthians. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe in chapter 12, you got a bell, you got the gift. In chapter 13, you got the pomegranate, you got the fruit. And in chapter 14, you got a bell. He's again talking about the moving and the gifts of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. How many fruits are there? So you can take the tabernacle, you can take the lampstand and teach the gifts and the fruits off of that if you wanted to. And I've done that some. Now there's 9 fruits. How many know there's 3 fruits towards me, 3 fruits towards God, of course God gives them all, and 3 fruits towards our brethren. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's take... We read here the gifts of the Spirit, didn't we? Did I read them all a while ago? Or did I skip some? Well, let's go back and make sure. Did I read them all a while ago? Okay. All right, there's 9 gifts, there's 9 fruits. Now, how many know the word of wisdom must be exercised in love? The fruit of the Spirit. Now, word of knowledge, hear me now, brings forth joy. Again, if Peggy needs healing and I have a word of knowledge for her, and God heals her, do you think that's going to make her rejoice today? Certainly. Certainly. Then there is the gift of faith. And how many know with the gift of faith, we need peace? Jesus said to the storms, he spoke to the winds, he said, peace be what? Still, be calm, shut up, and be muzzled. It brought a peace, it brought a calm right in the midst of the storm. And maybe God's using you in the gift of faith, special faith. But at the same time, it will bring peace to others. Can you say amen? And how many know we don't hear a whole lot about the gift of faith, special faith? Now, I know it can operate many ways. But one of the ways the gift of faith operates in the time of danger, God will so clothe you with such faith that there is no doubt, no unbelief whatsoever. I mean, you're wrapped in it. Praise the Lord. And it can come at any moment as God directs. Praise the Lord. Then there's gifts of healings. This is a popular gift we'd all like to have. We'd all like to be able to lay hands on people and see them healed and set free. But how many know with the popular gift comes an unpopular fruit? It's long-suffering. And we don't like to wait and be long-suffering, do we? But they go together. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. They go together. And then there is the gifts of the working of miracles. You know what you need with the working of miracles? You need gentleness. You need to be gentle. Hallelujah. not hard and harsh when you're working miracles. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then there is prophecy. You know what fruit you need with prophecy? You need the fruit of goodness. You need the fruit of goodness. I want to tell you, someone comes in prophesying and begins to condemn you and put you down. I mean, no, that's not the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy will edify, exhort, and comfort you. It'll not put you down. It'll not make you feel like you're a heel or an idiot. It will lift you up. It will comfort you. It will exhort you. And it will edify you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. And discerning of spirits, we need the fruit of faith or faithfulness. And we need to be faithful in what God has shown us. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, you need to be faithful what God's showing you. Yes, you do. How many know that Paul in Acts 16 spoke to that spirit and said, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Remember that? That spirit was saying to people, these are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And Paul, the Bible said, she did that many days. She was a fortune teller. It was a spirit of Python. But Paul didn't move when he first heard it, did he? He waited on God. Hallelujah. And when the time came, the Bible said he spoke of that thing that came out, and the Bible said it came out the same hour. Hallelujah. So in discerning of spirits, you need to be faithful in what God's told you, what God showed you. Amen. And be persistent. Somebody again say amen. Hallelujah. And then with diverse kinds of tongues, you need some meekness. You say, why is that? Because I've heard some people speaking with tongues sound like a general in the army barking. And scares everybody to death. Used to have a lady in the Assemblies of God years ago where I went. And she was a precious dear lady. She's still living. And, but she's learned a lot since then. And she, I'm telling you, when she'd come forward, it'd scare everybody around her. Boy, I mean, you know, you'd think the roof is coming in. But she said, and I've heard people do that, but they need to be taught how to release the Spirit daily, don't they? And pray in tongues, hallelujah, and just move smoothly in the Spirit and to come forth, you know, gently in the Spirit. Praise God. So don't throw cold water on a service. Amen. Don't be a general. Use some meekness when you give messages in tongues. Praise the Lord. And lastly, interpretation. Well, let me tell you what you need with interpretation. You need some temperance. Praise the Lord. How many has ever heard a short message and seemed like a guy never quit interpreting? There's two reasons for that. Number one, he may have extended his faith. and number two, he may have moved into prophecy and come out of interpretation. You can do that. You know that. You can go from interpretation into prophecy. I've done it before. I knew when they would cut off and just go right into prophesying. But then again, you realize the language barriers are different too. Sometimes a language, you know, can be short, a message, and yet the interpretation takes a long time to bring it out. So we have to be temperate in this these things. Praise the Lord. So we need the gifts. Now turn with me to several scriptures. Turn to 1 Timothy. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy, again, we want to look at chapter 1. We looked at this last night in verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. We said last night that prophecies do bring you into warfare. Now, back there, they didn't have tape recorders, did they? Like we do. And so he was telling Timothy, you better listen what God said to you about your ministry, because by those prophecies, if you'll take heed to the Spirit, then you'll be able to war a good warfare. Our problem is sometimes, brethren, we hear God, and yet we don't hear God. Amen? And yet, if we'll do what God says, and we know it's God, because I said last night there are conditional prophecies, And God requires you and I to do some things, and if we'll obey the Holy Ghost and do what God says, then truly we can truly come through the warfare and come into the ministry that God has for us. How many know when God gives you a promise, usually there's a problem standing in your way before you receive the provision. Isn't that right? And sometimes when you get in that problem or in that fog of confusion, I call it, where you're in the situation, you don't know what's happening to you, then run back and get a hold of the promise and come back through that fog of confusion. Bless God and receive the provision and the power that God has for you. Amen. There's sometimes you have to back up, don't you? You got to back up and go back and get the handle on the promise and get a good grip and come right on back through. Praise the Lord. Our problem is we fail in the problem. And we never come into what God has for us. Turn to chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. The Apostle Paul said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Where's the gift at? It's within thee. How many know God's not an Indian giver? What I mean by that is he doesn't give to you something and just jerk it away from you. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God gives you a gift. He expects you and I to use that gift properly. He expects us to pray and to be used properly. And so he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee. Notice, given. God's a giver. He's the greatest giver there is. Which was given thee. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It was given thee by what? Prophecy, he's telling Timothy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So has the presbytery laid hands on this young man? The gift that God had for him came to prophecy. Praise the Lord. Now, whether it be whatever gift it may be, whether it be a gift of the Spirit, ministry gift, or whatever, God is able to show you and I. Verse 15, meditate upon these things, the very things God's saying to you, Timothy. Meditate. Think upon what God is saying to you. Give thyself wholly to them. That means you do what God is saying to you, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. You know what the word stir up means? It means to practice, to put in practice that which God's given you. Stir up the gift of God. Who's going to do that? You and I. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, again, it's in thee, by the putting on of my hands, Paul said. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Now turn to Peter. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4, 10. The Bible said, as every man, that's everyone in this room here. No one's excluded. Everybody's included. If you desire spiritual gifts. As every man hath received the gift, whether it's the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Ghost, gifts of the Spirit, ministry gifts, whatever gift God has given you, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. You can only minister that which God has given you. You cannot minister out of your flesh. You cannot minister out of yourself. You can't do it. Notice, so minister the same one to another. Why does God put gifts in you? That you may minister to your brother. That you may minister to your sister. Amen. Somebody say amen. It's not like someone taking a little red wagon, a child coming down the street and say, look at me. No, that's not what God's doing. God puts gifts in us that we minister to our brethren. Hallelujah. God designed it that way. And I want to tell you, the very person that you may not like may have your healing or your miracle or whatever. God designed it that way, didn't He? And you know when it says God gives gifts to one and then to another, that word another, it can actually mean, it's a word that's different, that's used several times in 1 Corinthians 12. And you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we think the people down across the tracks don't know too much and don't have too much. But how many know that God's given the gifts, not you and me? Because if I was given them out, I'd probably leave a lot of people out that I, you know, just probably would. But God's given the gifts out. Praise the Lord. And the very person maybe that I wouldn't give a gift to, God would put a gift in him because he might have my healing, as I said. Hallelujah. I'm glad God designed it that way. And that means we need each other. Praise the Lord. So he said, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Hallelujah. So if you have an ability to speak, to minister by the Spirit, then you know that you're doing it by the ability God put in you. And you know what else? If you have a gift, listen, if you have a gift that's working in you, and you refuse to allow it to operate, how many know you're cheating your brother, and you're not bringing glory to God? Are you hearing me? You're cheating your brother and your sister that needs a word or needs a healing or a deliverance, whatever, and yet you're not bringing glory to God. Hallelujah. How many has ever, be honest, how many has ever quenched the Spirit? You knew God was one, yes, because of fear of man or whatever. Well, how many know you get in trouble when you do that? How many has ever had to repent over that? Amen. I have to more than once. Amen. Let him do it. He said, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God, look at this, in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. You want to be used of God? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Yes, when you begin to move in the Spirit, you're going to have trials. You're going to be tested. Amen? I can remember one time I was in this little church ministering, and I remember I gave an interpretation, and the devil fought me over that interpretation for some reason. And I didn't get the victory till I got home, and I had another translation. I opened the translation, and I read before my eyes the very thing I said in the interpretation. And I said, get out of here, devil. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so what I'm saying to you is, we've got to speak as God directs. Look at verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, you glorify God in the gift, and you glorify God in the test. Praise the Lord. Now, go to two more scriptures in closing. Romans 1. Romans Chapter 1 in the Scripture. Blessed be the Lord. How many has appreciated all the teachings in this meeting and all the music? How many will pray for all the ministries here, too, when you pray? Will you pray for us? We need your prayers. We covet your prayers, brethren. Don't pray against us. Pray for us. Had enough of that. In Chapter 1, and pray for Brother and Sister Miller on the campground for sure. Chapter 1, verse 11. Listen to what Paul said. For I long to see you, church. Oh, don't you like to get with God's people? That I may impart or share with you some spiritual gift, to the end you, church, may be established. Now, Paul is saying here that this gift will establish the church. Now, don't stop there. Look in verse 13, he said he was let hitherto. That means he was hindered. And then in verse 15, is it 15? Let's see, verse 15. No, verse 13. He said, I was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles. Yes, he wanted to impart a gift, but he wanted to see the fruit as well. Now let's go back to Mark 16, where Sister Irma was yesterday. Mark 16. Praise the Lord. In Mark 16, verse 15. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, that means in his nature, in his authority, in his character, shall they cast out devils. Now, how many know just in the name of Jesus we can cast out devils? But in casting out devils, how many know God may give you a word of knowledge in casting out devils and showing you what kind of devil you're up against? Or he may give you discerning of spirits, and he may actually show you the spirit, either when it comes out of the tower, the spirit that's there. And we know we need discerning of spirits. That's a supernatural insight into the realm of spirits. It's seeing and hearing in the realm of spirits. Praise the Lord. Good and bad. It's not all bad. We need to see some good spirits, don't we? Hallelujah. We need to see the Lord. We need to see angels at times as God directs. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so he said here, the first thing is, we'll cast out devils in his name. Then he said, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. Praise the Lord. I believe we all need a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. I believe we all have been praying probably in tongues to a certain degree. But I believe we need again to call upon God and get a fresh visitation of the Holy Ghost. And begin to speak in languages we have never spoken. Hallelujah. To begin to move in heights in God in the Spirit we have never moved in. To move in revelation as we pray in tongues that we've never moved in. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We need a fresh visitation of tongues within our life. Praise the Lord God. And as I said, as you pray in tongues, it opens you up to prophecy. It opens you up to interpretation. It opens you up to give messages in tongues, whatever, as God directs. Verse 18, and they shall take up serpents, or remove serpents, if they drink. And, of course, I see even the gift of faith can be there in that particular scripture as you begin to move in God. Praise the Lord. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And I can see the gift of faith can actually operate there. But even in the name of Jesus, we have the power to remove serpents. We have the power, if we drink any deadly thing, praise God, to claim immunity. And he said, and then he said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. And as you lay hands on the sick, how many know they're a candidate for prophecy? They're a candidate for God to show them by the word of knowledge the condition of the body. They're a candidate to see how that condition come in by a word of wisdom. Praise the Lord. Or again, discerning of spirits can come and God can show you what you're dealing with. And as you lay hands upon them, praise God, and hands remain upon them, gifts of healings can come and flow through the body and heal them. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. And then he said in verse 19 and 20, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I want you to notice that. The Lord working with them. Praise God. And as he worked with them, he'll work with you and me if we'll obey the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, nobody has a corner on the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's those that desire to be used of God. So let's press towards the fruit. And let's press towards the gifts. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want those that want to be used of God, just raise your hand where you are sitting right there. Keep them up. Father, you see these hands here in this service. You see the desire of your people today. And God, I pray now, right now, by the Holy Ghost, that you'd impart to these people those gifts that you desire to impart to them. Lord, as their faith reaches up to you this day, I pray, Father, they'll touch heaven and that heaven will touch them this day. Let an impartation, Lord, of the word of wisdom and word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. Gift of faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, come upon these precious people. Not only here today, Lord, but as they leave this premise, as they leave this place and go their way, God, use them, anoint them. Let impartation come, I pray. I speak impartation in Jesus' name to everyone here today that desires to move in God. And I think, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's praise Him for it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to go back to Oklahoma today and minister tonight in the local work there. So we pray that God will strengthen us. I want you to reach your hands out and just pray that God will strengthen me today in my body. Would you do that? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for strength and energy from the Holy Ghost, Lord, to minister to the physical body. Hallelujah. I receive it, Lord God. Divine energy and divine strength. I bless you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. I love you, Lord. I appreciate you. Amen. Amen. Brother Miller, praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.